The indictment is in. Wow. Well, we knew this one was coming. The former president of the United States indicted because it was somehow criminal that he felt differently about the election and was trying to persuade people about that election and then took actions to try and get the election to go his way. It's a huge leap. It's a massive leap with massive implications, I should point out, frankly, for both parties and for the country for years to come. Meanwhile, you got to wonder, is any of this just in any tiny way tied to the fact that Hunter Biden is under so much scrutiny right now, and therefore Joe Biden is under so much scrutiny right now, given what we have just learned from Devin Archer? Meanwhile, Devin Archer just going on with Tucker Carlson and revealing some very interesting things that we have to get to as well today. Hello, welcome back to the program. I am Trish Regan. If you have not yet subscribed, do me that favor. Hit that subscribe button. I think it's down there on the left. Make sure you hit the bell as well, so you're always getting information from me, always knowing when we are live. Really good to see so many familiar faces here again today in this live program. We are brought to you in part by LegacyPMInvestments.com. If you want to invest in gold or silver, go to LegacyPMInvestments.com, 1-866-589-0560. Okay, you know the drill. The news came out. Everyone on the left is actually jumping for joy, but here's what I'm going to caution. You know what, guys? Careful what you wish for, because if in actuality a judge was to say, okay, this is criminal behavior, you can't get your way, you can't go back and ask for these recounts, you can't go and dispute anything, well, then you're going to have real troubles, right? I mean, after all, was it not Hillary Clinton who in August, ladies and gentlemen, of 2020, that would be a couple months before the November election, was already making the claim that no matter what did Joe Biden need to do? Regardless of what the results were on election night. Well, I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to listen to her with you. Here's what she said to Jen Palmieri, who's her former like PR person, speaking on her podcast in August of 2020. Here we go.
You know, Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances, because I think this is going to drag out. And eventually, I do believe he will win if we don't give an inch.
Oh, okay. So you're not going to give an inch. Well, if you hadn't given an inch, if it looked like he had won, Donald Trump, that is, would then Joe Biden have been in legal trouble? I mean, I'm just trying to follow the logic here of this Jack Smith indictment. I mean, you're alleging here, Mr. Smith, that Donald Trump broke the law when he acted on things that he knew allegedly were lies. I mean, he was going around saying, you know what, this election was stolen, it was stolen. And then apparently in private conversations would kind of admit, yeah, you know, maybe it wasn't, blah, blah, blah. But the fact that he acted on this idea that it was stolen, that somehow makes him criminally guilty. Well, do you know how many politicians are out there acting on things all the time that maybe they know are not true? I mean, think about it, even Hillary Clinton herself. Hillary Clinton, the way she used to say, well, the Russians took the election. Donald Trump, he stole the election with the help of the Russians. Well, she was prepared for something. Remember this? Here she is again with her former PR person, Jennifer Palmieri, speaking on that little podcast in August of 2020. Again, a couple months before the November 2020 election. Here we go.
So we've got to have a massive legal operation. I know the Biden campaign is working on that. We have to have poll workers, and I urge people who are able to be a poll worker. We have to have our own teams of people to counter the force of intimidation that the Republicans and Trump are going to put outside polling places.
So, I mean, just technically speaking, right, if you were to do all that, Hillary Clinton, if Donald Trump had won by landslide and you were still doing all that, well, would then that have been criminal behavior? According to this indictment, effectively, it would be. And this is why it is such a slippery slope. You know, it's really kind of a weird place we find ourselves in as a country. In some ways, it feels like a tit for tat. I mean, you want a way to distract from the biggest story, perhaps one of the biggest stories in modern history, and that is the possibility that, in fact, the White House is for sale and that Joe Biden, when he was vice president, was indeed allowing his son and his son's associates to effectively broker influence. I mean, that's actually the big story, right? But interesting how that story comes out. Devin Archer goes in to testify. By the way, nothing's a coincidence here. Over the weekend, the Justice Department was trying to speed up his jail time, saying, you got to start early, you got to start early. Can we get a date on that jail time? Very interesting timing. He goes in and testifies, and no sooner does that happen than we get this indictment of Donald Trump for January 6th. What the left doesn't realize here, or maybe they do. I mean, if you're a real conspiracy theorist, you know, their theory, there are some that think that, well, you know, if he gets the nomination, then a lot of people will come to vote against him. Anyway, I would just say this. Every single time they try to take him down, they actually make him a whole lot stronger. He knows it. The Democrats ought to know it. Here's Donald Trump's response to this indictment. Take a listen.
Win back the White House. We will make America great again. I have no doubt about it. They come at me from left. They come at me from right. The rhinos, the communists, the Marxists, the fascists. We will not only survive, we will be stronger than ever before.
Ah, okay. And I would bet you anything that if you look at his poll numbers in the coming days, you will see that, in fact, they are stronger than ever before. I mean, he's already way up there in the polls. It's kind of freaking people over at the New York Times out just a little bit. Mainstream media had a story, in fact, just the day before the whole Devin Archer testimony, the day before the indictment came out, that, wow, you know what? He's killing it. He is way ahead, and he very likely could be the next president of the United States because, let's face it, Joe Biden is not exactly what you would call that enticing a candidate. Then you couple in the Devin Archer stuff, which, again, I want to get to the comments he just made to Tucker Carlson, and you've got real problems. But you go back to even what he was saying to Axios on HBO just a few months back, and here he is. Joe Biden doesn't seem to get the problem, really, that his son was in, is in, and the problems that he therefore put his father in.
To serve on the board of a Ukrainian energy company facing serious corruption charges, you were the vice president running point on Ukraine. The average Joe hears that and says, that sounds fishy. What's your understanding of what your son was doing for an extraordinary amount of money?
I don't know what he was doing. I know he was on the board. I found out he was on the board after he was on the board. And that was it. And there's nobody.
Well, you've had a lot of time. Isn't this something you want to get to the bottom of?
No, because I trust my son.
But that doesn't pass the smell test. Like, when you're vice president, isn't there a higher standard? Don't you need to know what's happening with your family? Don't you need to put down some guardrails?
Unless there was something that was, there was something on its face that was wrong.
I mean, maybe just a little something wrong, you know, like not paying your taxes. That might kind of be a big deal, not reporting your income. Maybe, you know, the fact that he says, I trust my son. Maybe the fact that your son had a drug addiction. Maybe the fact that your son took up with, unfortunately, I hate even saying this, the widow of his brother, his deceased brother. Maybe some of those things might have actually caused you to say, maybe I need to think twice about this one. Maybe we ought to dot the I's, cross the T's, and maybe, just maybe you shouldn't take that gig for $80,000 a month with Burisma, given how this might just look, right? How this just might appear. So that's kind of the big story that's going on. Devin Archer testifying effectively that they were selling influence. They were selling the Biden family name. That's what they were making money on. That's why they had all these deals all over the world. He just sat down with Tucker Carlson. Let me share with you part of that interview. He said that, quote, I can definitely say at particular dinners and meetings, he knew, meaning Biden knew, there were business associates. He did not claim that Joe Biden had actually ever discussed the business dealings, so that's a distinction and some good news, I guess, with those associates. But he went on to say, quote, I do not know if it was an orchestrated call-in or not. These were the call-ins, right, during the dinner meetings. You know, suddenly, hey, let me talk to Dad. It was, he continues, powerful, though, because, you know, if you're sitting with a foreign business person, you hear the vice president's voice, that's prize enough. He went on. Well, prize enough, especially when you consider what was going on at the time. And certainly, as far as Burisma was concerned in Ukraine, Burisma was actually under investigation for fraud. And what do you know? They put Joe Biden's son on the board at $80,000 a month. And then when the investigation starts heating up and the prosecutor over in Ukraine that's going after them is becoming a problem, Hunter's able to, what, I don't know, phone daddy, and suddenly that prosecutor gets fired. You've seen the clip. I played it for you again yesterday. He admitted to it himself at an event at the Council on Foreign Relations. So, again, what you got to try and piece together is whether or not it was, in fact, quid pro quo, if, in fact, the two things were tied. And I think as all this evidence comes forward, you're seeing increasingly the likelihood that there was a little bit more that was known, shall we say, to the now president of the United States than he let on. And that is going to be a problem. So what happens now? They go after Donald Trump. They go after Donald Trump with yet another legal headache. Now, part of the thinking may be, well, how can this guy ever win the presidency again, given that Americans are exhausted? And I would tell you, Americans are exhausted. Look, I saw this news and I'm like, again, seriously, you got to be kidding me. Like, I'm just tired of it. I'm exhausted by it. Here's the thing, though. And this is why I've always said, you know, not to count Trump out. I said, don't count him out in 16. You know, they think he's the easy guy to run against. In actuality, the more this stuff comes up, yes, granted, people are exhausted. But at some point, they start to say, wait a second, because if you're actually trying to say that, you know, we can't actually get up there and spout our opinions, spout what we think, et cetera, it feels as though you might actually be restricting an entire group of people, half of the country, conservatives, for the foreseeable future. I mean, if you don't like, if you decide, and you're the ones in charge, that you don't like a particular viewpoint or a particular sensibility, a particular political position, you then have the right to say, go after that person for their legal position legally and shut them down. All while simultaneously, you know, saying, okay, well, we're going to say that, you know, if you have an XX chromosome, it doesn't matter, XY, you know, that's all up for debate. And hey, you know, those that were born as men can now compete because they feel and identify as women on a particular day, their junior year in college. Well, that's, again, if you dispute that, you're suddenly in trouble. That's, again, causing everyday Americans to say, wait a second, you're going too far. So according to this indictment, there was no evidence that Mr. Trump was actually directly linked to the Oath Keepers or the Proud Boys, or that, you know, they were all planning, as has been alleged, to have some giant rush on the Capitol that day. What they are suggesting, however, is that he was dishonest. Trump was dishonest. There was fraud. There was deceit. In other words, while he may have had, and I quote, like every American, the right to speak publicly about the election and even to claim falsely that there had been outcome determinative fraud during the election that he had won, while he had the right to do that, he didn't have the right to then move forward and try to effectively overturn the election. But I guess I would just go back to, again, do you not have the right to legally challenge something if it's not crystal clear? Even if you think that maybe you lost, don't you still have a right to sort of double check everything and dot your I's and cross your T's, as Hillary Clinton, I'm going to play it again, had promised the Democrats they absolutely needed to do in the event that Donald Trump were to win in 2020.
You know, Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances, because I think this is going to drag out, and eventually I do believe he will win if we don't give an inch.
We don't give an inch. That was the thinking. I mean, that just blew me away at the time, I got to tell you guys, because I heard that and I'm like, really? I mean, that is full-on Banana Republic kind of stuff. And again, this is before Trump was saying, oh, I won, when he didn't. I mean, this is actually, this to me was sort of the beginning of it all. Not to mention how she continually kept telling everyone that Trump somehow stole the election with the help of the Russians. I mean, that is sort of, if you would, the seeds of what was to come. So it started somewhere. It started on the left. And now here we are with indictment after indictment after indictment. I guess the Democrats thinking that they're just going to wear people down. They're so sick of Trump being in legal trouble. And therefore, you know, he can't possibly win. Interestingly enough, there's a new poll that just came out. Vivek Ramaswamy is just killing it. He was on the show just a few weeks ago. I said to watch this guy, young, self-funded, multimillionaire, created a couple of companies, great education, went to Harvard, was in the biotech space, was a CEO. You know, I love people that come from a business background. You know that because I just think that they tend to be better and have a fresher look. They're not jaded by all this politics. I look at DeSantis and I'm like, wait a second. The guy is basically bought and sold, right? Like he's got all his donors that he's got to appease. I love it when people come in and they have their own money. So Vivek is continuing to climb. He said he wouldn't. He told me he would not run as the vice president on Donald Trump's ticket. And so who knows what's going to happen? It may not be his time in 24, but I do remind you to keep an eye on that guy because he is certainly one to watch. And a very different, I think more thoughtful and grounded and independent politician, if you would, than Ron DeSantis. So certainly interesting. And look, here's the deal. We need help right now. Because it's very clear our economy is in a very treacherous place. You look at what just came out from Fitch. We have just gotten ourselves downgraded. That whole AAA credit rating thing, that's kind of, you know, a big deal. It's kind of what we sort of pride ourselves on here in America. Well, yeah, that's gone, at least for Fitch. They downgraded us, so we no longer have that stellar credit rating. And the Biden White House and Treasury is like, what are you doing? They can't understand. They can't understand why on earth our credit rating would be downgraded. Well, maybe they just need to go back and take Econ 101. Let me tell you, look, the United States, if it were a business, would it really be an investment that you would make when you look at sort of the long-term growth prospects of the country, when you look at how much debt this country has, when you look at our debt to GDP ratio, when you think about how we have no real source of growth moving forward, and then you look at the corruption that you're seeing, frankly, just through and through on both sides of the political aisle, I don't know if this would be like, you know, one that I would consider one of the mainstays in my portfolio if I were investing in a company. How about you? No, of course not. So Fitch did the right thing. I mean, it's sort of obvious and it's sort of funny that you have to have, I guess they have to do it, right? The administration has to say, wait a second. No. This is, you know, this is great. We are the United States of America. Look, we're the United States of America until we're not, because there's plenty of other countries out there, China included, that are ready to take our place. They are ready to take our place. And this is why I keep saying over and over again, you know what? Policy, it matters. It's important. It's critical. And we got to pay attention to it. You need leaders that understand this. You need leaders that are not out there just saying, wait a second, you know, how much money can my family make from this? In the case of Joe Biden, it seems if you look through these bank records that someone was making a lot of money off of this. People related to the Biden family, there's some 20 LLCs that were created shortly after he became the vice president. What was that about? And then as we've learned, you know, through the Devin Archer testimony and again through his interview with Tucker Carlson, daddy was occasionally going on the phone, not to actually do the deals, but to just say hi, you know, why not? Why not say hi? Dan Goldman, he's the Democrat from, representative from New York. He's been out making the rounds, doing his best to try and defend the president. After all, wasn't the president just, you know, being a dad at that time? Here he is with reporters saying, no, nothing to see here.
Said that he has never spoken to anyone. He said that he had nothing to do with Hunter Biden's business dealings. If he says hello to someone that he sees his son with, is he supposed to say, hi, son? Oh, no, I'm not going to say hello to the other people at the table or the other people on the phone. It's kind of a preposterous premise to think that a father should not say hello to people that the son is at dinner with. And that is literally all the evidence is.
Okay, well, this is partly why we have an impeachment procedure, right? Should impeachment happen, then maybe we'll get a little bit more evidence. Because once again, I go back to, and I've spent time throughout my career looking at really shady financial stuff, including some terror financing investigations I've done work on and won awards for, by the way. And I see 20 different LLCs, and I see money going from here to here to here to here. And it does look questionable, if nothing else. Now, maybe it's just the appearance. Maybe it's just the appearance of things. Look, I'll give Clinton at least this, not Hillary, Bill. Bill Clinton started CGI, the Clinton Global Initiative project, after he left office, right? So you could say, fine, you know what? He was out of office, so be it. I just wonder how much Joe Biden was looking and go, huh, you know, maybe that's a good idea. Maybe I need a business like that. The problem for him for him was that he was actually still in office. So you can't have your family members out there effectively, allegedly, peddling influence if that's what really was going on. It certainly sounds like it. I don't know why else Chinese billionaires are bringing diamonds down to Florida and hand-delivering them to Hunter Biden if it's not something in expectation for return, right? I don't think they were hiring him for his financial chops. I don't think they were hiring him because he knew a lot about the energy business. I think they were hiring him because he had access. And this is what a lobbying firm helps to do, right? To give you access to the right lawmakers so you get your side of the story told and effectively, hopefully, make money on it, as Burisma was able to get itself out of trouble with the prosecutor. Was it Chokin, right? That Joe Biden just happened to fire because there was so much money at stake, not just for Ukraine, but possibly for Hunter. I mean, that's the question. I feel like I need those answers. I mean, I look at this whole indictment thing on Donald Trump, and it really does feel, again, like a massive destruction, a distraction, I should say. They will be destructive in the process, very destructive to the country by doing all of this. So Trump isn't kidding when he said we're in a really, really dark time. We're in a bad place. We are in a bad place. All more reason. I need you guys right now. I need you to subscribe to the show, to the channel. If you haven't done that already, please also do me the favor of going over to Apple Podcasts. Apple Podcasts, you can follow it. It's all for free. We do have advertisers. You hear me talk about gold, for example, because of inflation, because of, oh my goodness, what Fitch just came out saying. Yeah, we're getting our credit downgraded. I'll tell you, this should have happened ages ago. I don't know how we still have such a good credit rating. Earlier in my life, in my sort of previous career, long before I was in news, I actually started in finance. Well, I started in music, but I started in finance for the first real job. I was at Goldman Sachs, and I worked on the sovereign debt desk, emerging market debt desk. So we were trading and making markets in sovereign debt bonds. So kind of like the treasuries, except for places like Venezuela and Argentina and Brazil and Mexico and basically all the bad places, right? Where you don't want to necessarily be investing heavily in debt because they could go belly up any second. And you look at their economic fundamentals, you compare them to ours, you look at their political fundamentals, you compare them to ours, and I'll tell you what, we're not looking that different. I'm telling you, we are closer to Venezuela or to Argentina than you might ever, ever think. And you know how many times Argentina has had to restructure, et cetera. I hope we don't get there. I sure as heck hope, because I'll tell you this, it's game over if that happens. But when you think about the political infighting, you think about the tit for tat environment we're in, the viciousness of all of this right now, and the desire for one group to shut down the other, that is scary stuff. So if you're interested in investing in gold, go check out my friends, or silver, by the way. People like silver because it's a little bit cheaper. You can go check them out at legacypminvestments.com. You can buy or sell it right there, or call them at 1-866-589-0560. We got a very, very big story unfolding. Again, if you're just joining us, Hunter Biden's influence peddling still very much a subject in the news, not in the mainstream media, right? Because they're just going to talk about this Trump indictment ad nauseum. But this is the big deal, because he just told Tucker Carlson, as he told lawmakers there on Capitol Hill just yesterday, that they did hear quite regularly, possibly 20 times, from the vice president of the United States. Kind of a big deal when you're that foreign company and you're trying to get on the good side of the United States of America. And the guy that you just happen to hire as your lobbyist for $80,000 a month, well, he's got direct access to the vice president. These are the questions that need to be addressed. We're going to continue exploring them, asking them right here on this show every single day. Great to see you as always. Live program, Donna, good to see you back here. Jake, as always, you're right. I'm almost at 100K right here on YouTube. So do me the favor of making a comment, sharing this, telling your friends we're here. And you know I am relentless. I will see you tomorrow, everyone.